When asked why he did not quit, he said simply, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race."
Take your Bibles and turn to John 17. John 17. I want to talk to you about this subject this morning, until the end. Until the end, finish your race. Finish your race. Let's have a word of prayer together and we'll look at these verses. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. I ask you, Lord, to use the truth of your scriptures to challenge us and encourage us to finish our race. We're so thankful that Christ, when he came down to earth, he finished his race. He finished what he came to do. And Lord, help us to finish well in our Christian life, in this race that we're running for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and look at these scriptures, if you would. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And verses 1 through 4. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says here, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Jesus was here in the upper room with his disciples just in the hours before he would go out to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray, in the hours before he would be betrayed, in the hours before he would be taken and led before people and wrongfully tried and wrongfully accused, in the hours before Pilate would stand up and say to the mobs of people, "I find no fault in him." But yet still there was such hatred for Christ that they would end up crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus would be taken, he'd be led away, he'd be beaten, he'd be stripped of his robe, he'd have the crown of thorns driven into his head. He would end up being nailed to a cross and have those nails or those spikes be driven through his hands and through his feet, and he would die on the cross for the sins of the world. Do you know, in reality, that is what Jesus Christ came to do? Christ finished his work. He finished his race. He came, and even though it was not easy, and even though it was difficult what he was asked to do, even though his race was hard, even though the cross was hard, we sang a song even last Sunday, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he chose to die for you and me. Listen, even though his race was not easy, even though what Christ left heaven and came down to earth was not easy, he finished his race to the end, to the end. He was faithful and he finished his race. Let's pray. Father, speak to us today. Challenge us. Help us to finish well. Pray in your name. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus Christ finished his race. Just as this Tanzanian runner finished his race, and as some of you have seen before, Brother Jerry Wyatt, missionary in Tanzania, he met that man and had that man last year. He came to his church and so on. May have even gotten saved, or maybe already be saved, I'm not sure, but he came to their church last year. Came to the soccer stadium crusade either last year or the year before, I don't remember which it was. That man, even though it wasn't easy, even though that man was injured, even though that man was hurt, he determined, "I'm going to finish my race. My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." And for us in the Christian life, it may be easy to start out. It may be easy to accept Jesus. It may be easy to say, "I want to be a Christian and I want to be saved and I want my sins forgiven and I want a home in heaven." It's a little bit easier to get started in the race, if you will. But it takes more effort and it takes more determination to finish your race for God. To say, I'm going to stay faithful to Christ. I'm going to stay in love with Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay in the Word of God, and I'm going to stay faithful to Him and be true to Him, no matter at times if it's difficult, no matter if there's times where the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is hard and it's a heavy price to pay. I will be faithful and I will finish my race. You see, Jesus Christ came down to earth and He finished His race. He finished what He started out to do. He finished, or He accomplished, what He came down to earth to do. It's because Jesus Christ finished His race that He made salvation possible for every one of us. Do you know that none of us could be saved if not for Christ finishing His race? You and I would have no hope, no chance of heaven, no way to have our sins forgiven if Christ didn't come down to earth. And like those verses we read, if He wasn't willing to go to the cross for us, hey, He knew the hour had come. He knew the time had come that He would fulfill, that He would finish, that He would accomplish what He came to earth to do. And He came and He died on the cross and He gave His life. Why? So that people could have life eternal through believing on the Son of God. It said in John 17 and verse 4 there again, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work that Thou gavest me to do. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. You see, Christ knew, and Christ was always looking forward to something. He knew that once He finished His race on this earth, He knew that once He went to the cross and suffered and died for mankind and suffered and died there and shed His blood for our sins, He knew that after the death, He knew that after the burial, He knew that after the resurrection, He knew there was a time when He would ascend to heaven once again. And He would be glorified again. And He would be seated at the right hand of the Father again. And I think always in His mind, He knew that was awaiting. And He looked forward to that. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Christ knew the reward, if you will, that was coming. And He finished His race. And because He finished His race, He made salvation possible for us. Look with me, if you would, over at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Christ finished His race. He finished what He started out to do. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 to 8. Philippians 2 verses 5 to 8. It says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, the road that Christ had to travel, the race that He had to run, was not an easy road. It wasn't an easy race. He knew that in His race, what He had to accomplish was to die, was to go to the cross, was to suffer there for your sins and for my sins. And because He was determined to finish His race, because He was determined to do what He set out to do, He went to the cross and He bore your sins and He bore my sins there on Calvary. Again, He knew what was awaiting. You go down further in those verses and it says, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That maybe hasn't happened yet, but Jesus knew. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, He finished His race. He accomplished what He set out to do. He stayed with it to the end, to finish His race, even though it was not an easy race. Even though the road He had to run was not an easy road. He finished. He finished. You know, the race that you are called to run will not always be easy. Sometimes people maybe get the idea that just because we become a Christian, it'll make everything just rosy and peachy and wonderful the rest of our life. You know what? Not everything about your life is going to be rosy and peachy and wonderful and hunky-dory and all these other words you don't understand. Life is not going to be all glitter and flowers and sunshine and rainbows and perfect little... We still have trials, don't we? You go through difficulties. People have troubles. People sometimes go up for a while and then the struggles come in life and things go down. People, we still live in a sinful world and we've got a sinful flesh, and the people around us are all sinners too, and so sometimes we have to deal with conflict and difficulty and troubles. We don't have our glorified bodies yet. We still live in a world where we have bodies that are frail, bodies that are flesh, and sometimes we become weak and sometimes we become sickly, don't we? People die and we lose loved ones. People become sick and people suffer, and sometimes people walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes people go through trials and people go through valleys of affliction in their life. And it's not always easy to walk through those valleys. It's not always easy when the road is hard and difficult. But we ought to desire to finish the race. I want to finish my race for God. I don't want to, at times when the road is hard and when the road is difficult, forsake my faith in God or forsake my faith in Jesus Christ or get upset and angry at God and say, God, this isn't fair. Why do I have to go through this? Why is life so hard? No, I want to finish well, and you ought to want to finish well your race for Christ. The race you're called to run will not always be easy. Jesus Christ's life was not always easy. It wasn't always glorious. It wasn't always Him marching in and people, you know, waving palm branches and so on. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. No, it wasn't always that. Sometimes it was mobs of people crying out, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. It wasn't always loving and wonderful and everybody on His side and everybody thinking, wow, this guy's awesome. He can perform miracles, and let's go listen to Him. Sometimes the crowds flocked Him, and sometimes the crowds were just as quick to turn away and get away from Him. Sometimes people wanted to hear what He had to say, and sometimes they were angry at what He had to say. Sometimes they wanted to follow Him, and sometimes they forsook Him. Sometimes even His disciples followed Him, and sometimes they all walked away. They all walked away. The race you're called to run will not always be easy, but we need to finish our race. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. And look there at verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, we're surrounded. You ever use a compass in math class or something? A compass, you can use it to draw a whole circle. We're surrounded. We're compassed. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay aside those sins. Let us lay aside those weights. Let us lay aside those things that would hinder us from running our race and being good runners in the race for Christ Jesus. Lay those things aside. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with what? What's the next word? With patience. Run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, sometimes the race is hard, isn't it? And it requires patience. Sometimes the race is tough and it requires endurance. Sometimes the race is so difficult, it may make us fall on our knees. You know what? God likes that if it makes you fall on your knees in prayer and say, Lord, I can't do it. If you can keep crawling on your knees to the finish line, that's okay as long as you keep going forward. If you got to be like that runner we saw just before the start of the service who was so determined to finish her race that down on her hands and knees, she just kept crawling and crawling to that finish line because she was determined, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I came here to run this race. I came here to finish. And there may be times in life when life is hard and things are difficult and you go through trials. And if you fall on your knees and you fall flat on your face, but if you will pray and seek the Lord and you will determine, I'm going to finish and I'm going to keep on going. If you got to just crawl, but finish your race. If you can run, but finish your race. If all you can do is walk, then walk, but finish your race. If you got to crawl, but finish your race. Finish your race. Seek God's help. We're surrounded by people who've run the race before. We're compassed about with a cloud of witnesses who they've all run their race and they ran it faithfully. You know, the Bible talks about here in Hebrews 12 and chapter 11 before is all these heroes of the faith, we sometimes call them. But you know what? They were just ordinary people like you and me. They were ordinary men and ladies who went through difficulties in their life. And yes, their lives now stand out as a testimony to us of their faith in God. But it's God that's great. I'm sure at times their faith was very weak. We know it was. Abraham and Sarah, there were times where their faith looked very, very weak. But yet they get named in chapter 11. This is God saying they had great faith. Why was their faith great? It's because they determined to go on. They trusted God. They trusted God. They wanted to finish well. We're surrounded by those that have run before us. Don't ever think for you and me that when we go through trials, we're the only person going through a trial. We're the only person who's hurting. We're the only person. No, there may be different people in different circumstances and different trials, but everybody has gone through some trials. And everybody has had hurts. And everybody's had difficulties and bumps on the road and twists and turns in the road where it's not always easy. But we must finish our race for God. Look back at the Scriptures. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You're not called to run somebody else's race. You're just called to run your race. Run the race that is set before you. Set before you. You don't have to run my race. I don't have to run your race. You have to run your race. And whatever difficulties there is on that race, determined to finish. Determined to finish well. Determined to finish with a good spirit. Determined to finish with faith in God. Determined to finish going on, not turning your heart away from Christ. But keep on running. Keep on walking. Keep on crawling if you need to when the race is hard. Hebrews 12, go on in verse number 2. What can we do? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? Finisher. He's a finisher, isn't he? He finished well. He finished his race. He finished what he set out to do. He finished his race that he came down to earth to run. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If he finished, we can finish. Okay? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and I already quoted this before, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ finished, and so can we. Through trials, we can finish. Though the race is not always easy, we can finish. Though the road is sometimes rough, we can finish. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when we might have won if we had just stuck it out. Don't give up when the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Don't quit. Don't quit, Christian. You have a race to run. And every one of us are to run that race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Your race will not always be easy. The road will not always be easy. But run your race for God. Finish well in your Christian life. Don't let your heart be turned upside down. Don't turn against God in times when you go through trials and difficulties. Trust Him more. If you're knocked down, if you're driven to your knees, so be it. But get on your knees in prayer and stay on your knees in prayer and keep on crawling and keep on going and keep on going forward in your race for God. Let it be that thing that knocks you down, that helps you to rely on Him more and keep on going in your Christian race. Keep on running the race. Again, look at Hebrews 12. There's a great cloud of witnesses that compass us about. And He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run it with patience. Run it with endurance. Run it with God helping you. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. He's our example, isn't He? looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is our example. When we're weary, keep on running. When the road is hard, keep on running. You know, some of you have difficulties that I've never had to live with. Some of you have trials in your life that I've never had to deal with. I admire greatly some of you people, even in this room this morning, that you're living your Christian life. You're trying to live for Christ and live for God. And you maybe don't have a husband or wife that wants to live it with you. Maybe you're saved and they're not saved. And you just keep trying to press on and do right and live for Christ, even though they don't care less. I'm sure that's not an easy road. But you press on. You walk on. You crawl on if that's all you can do. But you run your race. There are people that deal with difficulties and people that deal with different struggles and people that have maybe been hurt, people that have been disappointed, people that have been rejected, people that have been forsaken. Not by God, but by people. There are people that have lived with difficulties and gone through trials and lived with health problems that have really hurt them. They're really hard to deal with. The road's not easy, but they've finished the race. Or they're finishing the race. Christ is our pattern as well. Look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Listen, when we're weary, let's keep on running. Let's finish the race. Jesus Christ endured when the race was hard. How did He do it? He considered the joy that was set before Him. He considered how it would please the Father when He finished the race. I think He considered what it would be like one day to having come to earth and accomplished what Him and the Father agreed I'm going to do, and I'm going to go down to earth and I'm going to suffer rejection from my people. I'm going to be rejected by the Jews. I'm going to be rejected by mankind, and I'm going to die on the cross and I'm going to suffer for their sins and I'm going to go through all of that. But Father, I'm going to do it because I love You and because I love them. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He ran that race even though it was difficult and hard. Why did He run it? Because He wanted to please the Father. He ran that race because I think one day He wanted to be back with His Father again and hear Him say, "Well done. Well done." He considered the joy that was set before Him. He considered how He would please the Father when He finished the race. He considered the reward and the place that was awaiting Him still at the right hand of the Father. We too can and we too should finish our race. Listen, heaven is awaiting for us. Heaven is awaiting for us. No matter how heavy our trials of life may get, Corinthians teaches us they're still but for a moment. The afflictions and trials of this life, they are light compared to the eternal weight of glory and what's awaiting for us in heaven. Thank God for what's awaiting. Heaven's awaiting. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, is awaiting us if we will faithfully run our race. Let's run it. Let's finish the race. Let's finish well. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you're in Hebrews, you're just very, very close. Still back a few pages to the left. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look there at verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul is writing here to Timothy. He's coming near the end of his life. He's lived a life that has not been easy. It's been hard. The great Apostle Paul, his life is an incredible story. How he was a persecutor and hater of Christians, but God converted him on the road to Damascus. He got saved. His life got changed. And he became a preacher and a missionary and evangelist and church planter and so much. But listen, he suffered shipwreck many times. He was beaten many times. He was hated many times. It wasn't easy doing all that the great Apostle Paul did. He had afflictions. He had physical suffering. He went through an awful lot, but he wanted to finish well his race. And look what he wrote here to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." You know what I'm trying to encourage you to do this morning? Finish your course. Finish your race. And keep the faith. Finish well in your Christian life. Be determined that you will finish the race, even if it's not easy, even if it's difficult at times. Finish your race. Finish your race. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. He's a righteous judge. He's a rewarder of both evil and good. He'll reward you if you finish well. He'll reward you if you run your race well. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Let's finish well in our Christian race. Let's look for that joy that's set before us. Let's remember what is awaiting for us if we will finish well. If we'll run the race that God has called us to run. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, and that's where we're going to finish at. Simple thought here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul finished well. Paul finished his race. Was it easy? No. Was it difficult? Yes. Was it hard? Yes. At times it was very hard. But what did Paul say? His grace is sufficient for me. When did Paul feel the greatest strength and help of God? In his weakness. I can't tell you how many times in the last several months I've said to my wife, I feel so weak and I need him. And my wife said, yeah, I feel so weak and I need him. And we're depending on him. In our weakness, that's when we feel his strength. His grace is our sufficiency. His grace is sufficient for us. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. How are we going to run the race? How are we going to run it well? How are we going to run well to the finish line and know that we've run a race that is glorifying and pleasing to our Heavenly Father? Notice what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, run that ye may obtain. And everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not I as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. If you want to run well your race and finish well in your race, let me say this, run honestly. Run honestly. Run honestly. Not like a lady. There's a lady by the name of Rosie. I don't remember her last name right now. But she became famous many years ago, going back probably 25 years ago or more. A lady by the name of Rosie, she supposedly ran the Boston Marathon. And she crossed the finish line first. And everybody, began to cheer. And, and she got some of the rewards began to be laid around her neck. And so on. Everybody's cheering for her. But it wasn't too long before the video footage was shown, from some places in town. And Rosie had come running out of the crowd. And she had her number on her, but she came running out of the crowd and out from a place. And she ran the last little bit of the Boston Marathon, just a little bit ahead of the other runners. Listen, Rosie didn't run it honestly. If we run our race dishonestly, when we've run our race where we've just maybe tried to keep things in hiding and we've not lived like we ought, that won't be pleasing to the Lord. We're to run honestly. We're to run clean. Run pure. Live right. Some runners have come to shame when it was discovered afterwards that they were using steroids. One of the great moments in Canadian Olympic history was in 1998 when Ben Johnson won the gold medal. And he ran the 100-meter race, the most acclaimed and important race of the Olympics, it seems like. And he ran that race in a world record time. Everybody was so excited, but the next day, he was disqualified because of steroids. Listen, we've got to run honestly. We've got to run clean. Do we want to be known for not running the race cleanly? Do we want to be known for living lives or running and living lives that were full of sin that really caused us to bring dishonor and shame to our Lord? How do we want to finish? Do we want to run well and then have run much of the race well, but then in the end maybe live it impurely and lose our testimony for Christ, have our testimony all ruined because of a poor decision that leads us to sin and shame? No, let's run honestly. Let's run cleanly. Let's run faithfully. Don't quit. Run fervently. Run passionately. Run faithfully. Run with determination that you will not quit. You know, that Tanzanian runner that we watched, he finished the marathon in spite of his injury, saying, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." Listen, Christ did not get in the race just to start. He got in the race to finish. And I'm glad He finished, because if Christ did not finish His race, I could not be saved. Because He finished His race, because He was willing to go to the cross for you and me, we can be saved if this morning you'll believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's your Savior if you'll believe on Him and trust Him. You can have your sins forgiven, a home in heaven, eternal life, if you'll trust in Him and Him alone. Because Christ finished His race, we ought to finish our race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, He made it possible for us to be saved. He finished. And we ought to finish our race. We ought to finish. Don't just get in the Christian life to start. Get in the Christian life to finish. Finish your race. Finish well. Don't just run the race for a few months or a few years. Run it for the rest of your life. Run the race and finish your race. Christ finished His race honorably. He finished His race admirably. He finished His race faithfully. And we too need to finish our race. Finish our race. Let me read to you here something. I may read it a bit quickly, but this was written by a man by the name of Greg Friesen. This man was a friend of my brother. Went to college with my brother, and my brother had married his cousin. My brother, in 1998, the Calgary Olympics, he got to run the Olympic torch, you know, in the torch relay across Canada. He went to Bible college. He graduated from Bible college in 1991. Got married at Christmas of 91. 7 weeks later, he was killed in a car accident. His race was short. His race ended at 22 years of age. And a friend wrote this to encourage all of us to keep on running. He said, "At times the way is treacherous and the road winds around bends in which unexpected events occur that are alarming to the competitors. The course is set in mountainous terrain and the steep hills often make for tough going. This was the setting for the marathon that I was running in. There were quite a few who ran in it, although we were far outnumbered by those who never bothered to enter. Because the course looked far too difficult, and they said it seemed like a waste of time to strive for a prize that they would never see until the race was over. I would tell them that on my own strength, the race is impossible. But at the starting, each runner receives access to unlimited power. I convinced some to enter, but most just ignored me. This race had brought so much joy and fulfillment to my own life and to the lives of the runners around me that I commanded myself to tell the non-participants standing alongside the course to enter this race. I then decided to run along a certain branch of the route in which I would receive specialized training on how to go about my commitment. When I entered this branch of the race, I came into close company with several other runners. One of those runners seems to stand out in my mind right now. He was tall, he had dark hair, clean cut, and he was a decent living sort of fellow. That was more than could be said of some of the other runners. He ran strongly and with great aggressiveness as I have seldom seen in men his age. He possessed great talent and he hid his fears well. In fact, if he had not been human, I would have doubted that he had any fears at all. There were many times that I would talk to him and he would tell me that there were certain things in my running that I should correct. Through his example, I learned new techniques on how to run efficiently. He was just as human as the rest of us runners and he had his share of faults and hardships throughout the race. One day we were running together and I started talking to him. As the conversation went on, I learned that his name was Steve and that he had entered the race when he was just 9 years old. He, like myself, wanted to get others to start running in this grand marathon. This race is unique in that we as competitors do not race against each other, but we race against the clock. Its unrelenting standard is our antagonist and mentor. For you see, many years ago, there was a runner who entered the marathon and he ran a perfect race. He also made participation available to all who wanted to run. His ultimate example is what we strive to equal, and with each tick of the clock, those who listen can hear the heartbeat of this man. It was his example that motivated us to stay on course no matter how tough the way got. When we felt like quitting, we would ask for strength and keep on plodding. Well, the day finally came when this particular section of the course was finished for Steve. And he entered once again into the mainstream of the race. He used his training in begging and pleading for the non-participants to join the race. I would often see him running in front of me. His stride was always strong and he constantly stayed on course, striving for the goal at all times. He carried a torch in his hand, as did all the runners. The brightness of the flame was determined by the runner's performance in the race. The torch of some seemed to barely glow, while others had theirs shining brightly. Steve shone brightly, and although it was never phenomenally brilliant, it shone consistently. This race was unique because each runner had a different finish line. And no runner knew just exactly when he would reach the end of his course. This motivated us to run well at all times. It was during an ordinary day of running. I was tiring because the course had been uphill for quite a while. I observed Steve. He was running as strong and as confident as ever, when all of a sudden his finish line abruptly appeared before him. As he crossed the line, he placed his torch on the course for all to see. It was at this point that my strength seemed gone. I'd been struggling up a massive hill and my legs were weak. I was with some other runners who were trying to get up the same hill. My tortured breathing was the only thing that I could hear, and the dirty road was all that I could see. Tears blurred my eyes as I remembered all the others who had quit the race, and I realized that I was soon to join the ranks. As I reached a turn in the road, I stumbled and fell into the ditch. I had already given up hope and had called for the medics to carry me off when I looked up into the faces of those who said that I would never make it. They were smiling broadly as their prophecies were becoming a grim reality. But then I looked up into the sky, and I saw something up there, but I could not see what it was. I wiped the dirt and tears from my eyes, and then I saw it. For there in the sky was a whole stadium of runners who had finished their course, cheering the other runners and myself on. Something or someone in the stadium caught my attention, and I looked closer, and standing cheering the loudest of all was Steve. Standing on the one side of Steve stood a man whom I had never seen before. But he looked a lot like Steve. And I guessed him to be Steve's father. And on the other side of Steve stood the one who had run the perfect race. With this encouragement, I struggled to my feet. And with an unsteady stride, I was back in the race. The audience roared so that the stadium shook. I quickened my stride as my strength was renewed, and with their shouting giving me power, my goal to beat the clock was restored. As I ran, I hoped that when my finish line appeared on the course, that my torch would be shining brightly and that my end would be triumphant. Steve's torch still lays where he placed it. It beckons those standing by to enter the race, and it motivates those who are running to finish their course. That's all real and that's all true. Really is. That man Greg, he's still running his race and he's running it well. And Greg's father is a man who's running it well and finishing it well. Pastor John Friesen in Tillsonburg, Ontario. Finishing it well. 50 years married to the same woman. 35 years pastoring the same church. His father's running his race well and finishing it well. Has it been easy? No. Has there been times when the road's been difficult? The race has been hard? Yes, I'm sure. But his dad's finishing his race. And the man who wrote this story is finishing his race. And my brother, he finished his race. And he finished it far earlier than anybody would have thought. Listen, you don't know when your race is going to finish. You don't know that you're guaranteed to live to be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. But listen, run your race now and run it well and determine, I'm going to finish my race. And I'm going to finish it not turning from the faith, not turning from God, not forsaking God. I want to run well and I want to run in His strength and run in His power. And I know that I'm too weak to run it on my own. But rely upon Him. And even if you get knocked to your knees, let it be that knocking to the knees that even more drives you to the Lord in prayer to seek His help. I want you to finish well. I want you to finish well your race as Christ finished His race, as others have finished their race to the end, till the end, finish. Don't stop short of the finish line. Don't say, I've done enough. No, I don't need to serve the Lord any longer. That's one of the most disheartening things ever. Finish. Until you don't got the strength to run anymore, run. When all you can do is walk, walk. When all you can do is crawl, crawl. But finish your race. Finish your race. Finish well in your marriage. Finish well in your Christian race. Finish well in your Christian life. Hey, realize that there is joy set before. There is reward set before. There is heaven that's awaiting. There is a well done, thou good and faithful servant that's awaiting. And finish well your race for God, for your Heavenly Father, that you might please Him.